I'll wait in the morning and I'll die in the morning.
Welcome to our group.
And this ought to show it right here.
Do you or someone you know suffer from depression? If so, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255.
Good morning, afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another wonderful Sunday prayer service with your host, our chaplain, Robert Weathers. Hope everyone's having a blessed Sunday so far. And if you're in that storm or have had them storms pass through, sending lots of prayers out to y'all. Be safe, buckle down, and God bless you. Now, without further ado, allow me to introduce and bring in your host, our chaplain, Robert Weathers.
Hey, and I concur with Bobby. My prayers out for anybody who has had damage or any lives that might have been caught up in the storm. So if you're out there, please send us some comments to let us know, and we'll definitely say some prayers, and if we can, help in any way we can. So without further ado, I want to start this. Just good morning and afternoon, everyone. I want to continue a discussion we had on Thursday for the Defender 7 talk show on current events. It's something that has been on my heart a lot even before that. But it was really exciting to go to church service today because, and I didn't put this in my sermon, but it's just another way God confirms what's on my heart. But everything that was said in the service today was exactly what was on my heart and in the service that I'm going to talk about. So anyway, I want to continue what we was talking about on how the saying goes, don't judge others sinning and living as a Christian. I know a lot of times we don't want to go there. Why? Because it's an examination on ourselves, self-examination, or others judging us, and as we know, doesn't set well. Why? Because none of us is perfect. And I want to reiterate, as I have before, every time I do a sermon or something's on my heart, it's because God is wanting me also to self-examine myself to become better. And I include everything that I say for myself also. So, but I want to show you through Scripture that we as a family in Christ must also check on one another, not in strife or bitterness, but with concern for one another. And I'm not talking just between us, but everywhere we go, especially nowadays. We do this not only in order to grow in faith, but also to grow in Christ. We exercise our bodies to be healthier. We exercise our minds to think better. But how do we exercise our souls to be better in following Christ's ways instead of following our sinful ways? Let's continue this because it's a very deep subject that I believe God wanted me to teach on since it was brought up. And I will tell you after we have prayed and given praise to our Father. So let's pray. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Glorious Father, thank you for yet another day that we can strive to learn your word that teaches us to live and love in this earthly life. We hunger for the spiritual truth that you have given us so we can draw closer to you and have the relationship you want with us as your children through Christ. So, Father, give us wisdom and understanding in your word today to learn and grow. And this, too, I am humbled before thee, Father, to be given the privilege but also the responsibility to be your servant to your flock. May I never fail you, O God, in doing so. And if I do, please show your mercy upon my soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll do a worship song here, and then we'll continue. This first one, I'm only going to do one here, but it's called Jesus Paid It All. And it's sung by Kim Walker Smith. And let me get set up here. And it's through Worship Circle Hymns.
This is a full 3 months of food without needing any...
Okay, that wasn't it. Pass the ad. Here we go. Just set yourself before the Father and just worship Him. This is a really good song. Jesus paid it all.
Thank you. Hi, this is Todd Fields of Worship Circle. I want to
Jesus paid it all, and he washed it away as white as snow. So as I was saying, I believe God wanted this prayer service to be on the topic of judging one another, sinning, being a Christian. What does it all mean? First, here is why I believe God wanted me to. Even when it's a hard subject like this. Well, it has been on my heart for a while, not because of you, but because of my own life and the way I live and walk in my Christianity. Then the subject came up on Thursday talk show. Then yesterday, as I was traveling to the Daniel Boone's last home he lived at to go to the 200th Hawking Rifle anniversary, I was listening to bot radio, as I usually do, and again, this subject came up, more specific. The self-examination part of if we are born again, why do we keep sinning, and if we still sin, how can we tell others in love how to be or not be? You see, that sets very hard on me being called to minister and being a chaplain, and as Scripture says, being held even more accountable than the rest of you. It's also a terrifying feeling sometimes, but God always settles them in his fatherly ways. If anyone wants to listen to someone even more knowledgeable, go to Bot Radio website, look for Ann Graham Lotz. And that is the daughter of Mr. Graham. Anyway, her program is called Living in the Light. And listen to her April 24th episode titled The Necessity for the Holy Spirit, Part 1. It's about 24 minutes and 55 seconds long, but it's good stuff. It's still amazing to me. And like I said, God even confirmed it more this morning at the worship service I went to. But it's still amazing to me when God sets something on my heart and then gives me everything I need to follow through on it, whatever it may be. So there was that. Then while preparing for prayer service, I opened my Bible app on the computer, and the verse of today is 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." You see, it all ties into what God put on my heart in the first place, to not only learn and grow, but to prepare us for what is to come, maybe sooner than we know. By nature, because of the original sin, we are born in sin. But as Jesus said to Nicodemus, one of the Pharisees, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Even Nicodemus, a scholarly, wise, educated, and one of the good Pharisees who knew Jesus, was more than what his fellow Pharisees and Sadducees thought Jesus was, questioned this. What did Nicodemus reply? We read in John 3:4, Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And again, Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." The rest of this beautiful conversation they had is in John chapter 3, the very good read to grasp it more. So what did this mean, be born again, and how can we quit sinning? And are we to judge someone when they are doing wrong? So many questions. What is the right answer? Well, in order to learn, grow, and know, we go back into Scripture to read what Paul said in Romans 6, chapters 6, 7, and 8. It all comes to this. Jesus Christ died and rose again, so that we who receive and believe and become also die and rise again to new life. So even though we still sin, we have Jesus to cover us with his righteousness. We are born again through Christ. When we get baptized, we go underwater. This does two things. We die spiritually to our old man, quote unquote, and we are cleansed spiritually. And then after we rise again to new life, cleansed and are born again spiritually. So as we begin this new life, we strive to not do those things we did in the flesh before. No matter how big or how small. If we drank or partied too much, we don't go to a bar and say, "I'm having a hard time quitting." Or if we have trouble with pornography, we don't go to porn sites or strip joints and say, "I can't stop it." And if you do these things, ask God to help you. Find someone to be accountable to. Everyone has issues. Sometimes it's overwhelming. Through Jesus, we are strengthened. Even depression can be a sin. It means we don't trust in God enough to handle our life. We don't trust God enough to bring us through. We don't trust God enough to know. We are going through bad things to make us better and later to help someone else. And be, as it were, someone God sends, a godsend to someone. We don't know the whole picture what God sees. We just need to trust him, what's best for us in that season of our life. So let's get back to being a Christian and still sinning. Romans 7:1-25 tells us, "Or do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives? For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law. And if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would have not known sin. For I would not have known what is to covet if the law had not said, 'You shall not covet.' But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. For apart from the law, sin lies dead. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me and through it killed me. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Did that which is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin, producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be the law, be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. Then Romans 8, 1 through 30 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit sets their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, that creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Like the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Sorry about that. My phone just... Let's see. I'll get it in a minute here, folks. This stupid phone. I got to get me another one. The glass is cracked on this thing, and it always moves on me. I'm close. Okay. If I repeat this, I apologize. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Okay, here we go. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grow inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Maybe God wanted me to repeat that. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind, is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. And that was Romans 8, 1 through 30. And that was the English Standard Version. Only through Christ Jesus are we saved from death of sin. But it does not mean we can do anything sinful or would want to, or would want even to try to go back to doing the old things of sinful living. The Ten Commandments was both a blessing and a curse. We were shown by God how to live, but we were cursed because the laws show us we can never be perfect. But Jesus is perfect for us. Still, we must strive to be perfect as Jesus is. So what about being a Christian, still sinning, but judging others? Well, don't judge, only God can judge, as people say, is not even in the Bible. Many times people will quote Matthew 7:1, "Judge not that you be not judged." And that was the scripture that was coming up on Thursday. These days, people would rather allow people to go to hell than expose evil. Many people say, why are Christians so judgmental? You get judged all your life, but as soon as it's about Christianity, it is a problem. Judging is not sinful, but a judgmental, critical heart is. This verse is most widely used so that those who can use it. All right, sorry again, guys. My phone's messing up here.
When you get a new phone, I'll remind you to put a screen protector on it so that that's what gets broken, not your phone.
Well, the problem is when I got this new phone, it was outdated in any way. And I tried to find me a new protector for it, and they didn't have them anywhere. And I hate getting online and buying stuff.
Get with me. I will get you a screen protector.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate you caring about me. Let's see. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. I've already said that, didn't I?
You're talking about Matthew.
Okay, there it is. Matthew 7:1. Okay. Okay, so these days people would rather allow people to go to hell than expose evil. All right? Many people say, why are Christians so judgmental? You get judged all your life, but as soon as it's about Christianity, it is a problem. Judging is not sinful, but a judgmental, critical heart is. This verse is the most widely used so that those who use it can excuse themselves to commit sin, even sin that's an abomination to God. And yes, God does have hate and anger for these sins. People tell me, judge not lest ye be judged. And this is a quote from Paul Washer. Tell me, judge not lest ye be judged. I always tell them, twist not scripture lest ye be like Satan. That's pretty heavy. These are quotes that I found also online. If the truth offends, then let it offend. People have been living their whole lives in offense to God. Let them be offended for a while. And that was by John MacArthur. A lot of these quotes here are from pastors of the past and ministers. Here's another one from John Wesley. I judge all things only by the price they shall gain in eternity. That was one that really hit me. None are more unjust in their judgments of others than those who have a high opinion of themselves. Charles Spurgeon. Okay, so I looked all this stuff up online, and I'm kind of plagiarizing again. But this, what I'm going to do is they gave me like 25 scriptures to basically talk about, and each one had a title. And this one is Judging a Sin According to the Bible, or Is Judging a Sin According to the Bible. How can you tell good from bad? Fruit without judging. How can you tell good friends from bad friends without judging? You have to judge, and you do judge. Matthew 7:18 through 20, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit. A bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Okay? Here's another one. Scripture says that we are to judge and expose evil. These false teachings and these lies entering Christianity that say you can be a homosexual, still be a Christian, would not have entered if more people would have stood up and said, no, it's a sin. So that Ephesians 5:11, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. Here's another one. Sometimes being silent is a sin. Ezekiel 3:18-19. So when I say to a wicked person, you're about to die, if you don't warn or instruct that wicked person that his behavior is wicked so he can live, that wicked person will die in his sin. But I'll hold you responsible for his death. If you warn the wicked person and he doesn't repent of his wickedness, or of his wicked behavior, he'll die in his sin, but you will have saved your own life. Okay, so being silent is a sin too. And we will be held accountable before God when we come into judgment. So the next one, it says, judge not that ye be not judged, Bible verse. That was the title. Many people point to Matthew 7:1 and say, you see, judging is a sin. We must read it in context. It is talking about hypocritical judging. For example, how can I judge you for being a thief, but I steal just as much or more? How can I tell you to stop having premarital sex when I still have premarital sex? I have to examine myself. Am I being a hypocrite? And that would be a yes if you do. So Matthew 7:1-5, we got to take it in context and we have to read the whole thing, not just that verse. Do not judge so you won't be judged. For with the judgment you use, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but don't notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and look, there's a log in your eye? Hypocrite, first take the log out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. What's that mean, guys? Basically, it's saying, take care of yourself first. Become Christ-like first, repent from your sins, and change you, and ask God to help you with that and strengthen you so that you can go and help others. And it, like I said in previous scripture, because sometimes we will be held accountable for others too. We are our brother's helper. So Luke 6:37, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Romans 2:1-2. You, therefore, have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Romans 2:21-22. Therefore, you who teach someone else, do you not teach yourself? You who preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that one should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You abhor idols, do you rob temples? How can we discern pigs and dogs if we don't judge? So in Matthew 7:6, don't give what is holy to dogs or toss your pearls before pigs or swine. or they will trample them with their feet. Turn and tear you. They'll turn and tear you to pieces. How are we to watch out for false teachers if we can't judge? In Matthew 7:15 through 16, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are savage wolves. You will know them by their fruit. Grapes aren't gathered from thorns or figs from thistles, are they? How are we to distinguish good from evil without judging? Hebrews 5:14. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Here's the other title. God's people will judge. 1 Corinthians 6:2. Or don't you know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world is judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest cases? 1 Corinthians 2:15. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. How can we warn without judging? This next verse is 2 Thessalonians 3:15. Yet do not regard them as an enemy, but warn them as you would a fellow believer. And this is what wraps it up in a nutshell when we do judge, and we are going to judge. Judging righteously. We are to judge, but we are not to judge by appearance. And do we do that? This is something that we all struggle with and we have to pray for help with, whether we are at school, work, the grocery store, etc. We like to judge people by what we see, what they are wearing, what they are buying, and this should not be. We see a poor person and think he got that way because he was an addict. We have to continually pray for help with the spirit of judgmentalism. Now, I'm going to tell you guys, this is going off script here. That's exactly verbatim, I mean exactly what the sermon was said to me this morning. So again, I will reiterate, this is not just for you guys, this is for me too, okay? And I'm going to be held by higher standards because God has asked me to minister and to be a chaplain. Only you, but for other people I come across. Like on Tuesday evenings, me and this lady friend of mine, she asked me to do a children's Bible study. So I do that on Tuesday nights. So again, a long time ago, God asked me to minister, and I was pretty obstinate in doing so until I finally broke down, or should I say God finally broke me down and said, I want you to go out and tell the gospel. I want you to minister to other people. And I'll be honest with you guys, I was frightened. I was scared out of my wits because I don't want to judge somebody when I'm doing the same sin, okay? And I do sin. I do have sins in my life that I've been praying about and asking God to help me with. You know, it's like Paul said, there's a thorn in my side, but we got to continue spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. So let me continue here. So we got to do, to basically sum it up, we have to do it in the right spirit. We don't do it to condemn. We do it to help those we love. Even if they're strangers, we should love one another. And in doing so, well, let's put it this way. If somebody who cared about you told you not to burn yourself on the stove, what would you do? Well, sometimes we're obstinate. We go over to the stove and we burn ourselves because we're curious. But the thing is, they told us out of love so that we would not burn in the fire. And that's exactly what God has told everyone who is in Jesus Christ to do. So John 7:24 says, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. And then in Leviticus 19:15, ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Okay, it doesn't matter how hoity-toity or how much we have or whatever. We shouldn't look at another person in a degrading way. We should look at them in a righteous way and tell them with love and concern that, hey, you know, if you do this, this could condemn you. You know, I'm not condemning you, but I'm telling you what it says in Scripture. I'm the middleman. You know, I'm here between God and you through Jesus telling me to tell you about Scripture. Okay, so here's another one. Judging and correcting a brother. Are we to let our brothers and sisters rebel and live wickedly without restoring them? When a Christian starts going astray, we have to lovingly say something. Is it loving to watch someone walk on the road that leads to hell without saying anything? If I was on the wide road that led to hell and I died every second of me, burning in hell, I would hate you more and more. I would think to myself, why didn't he say anything to me? So James 5:20, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins, even in their own hearts. And that's again, if we help somebody who isn't a Christian, who doesn't believe in Jesus, and we talk to them, and maybe it's a project. You know, maybe this person will be a project and it takes a long, long time. And sometimes it gets stressful and you know, it just takes a long time for him or her to finally say, hey, you know what? You're right. Keep doing it. Keep on doing it. You know, because if you convert that one sinner, it'll hide, like it says in James 5:20, it'll hide a multitude of your sins. In Galatians 6:1-2 says, brothers, if someone is caught in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual should restore such a person with a gentle spirit, watching out for yourself so you also won't be tempted. Carry one another's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. In a way, isn't that what we do as far as Defender 7 goes? Aren't we supposed to help one another and carry their burdens if they're burdened? I think so. I think that is at the core of what Defender 7 stands for. So, you know, even if they're not believers, we should help one another. Here's another one. The godly will appreciate an honest rebuke. Sometimes at first we do buckle up against it, but then we realize I needed to hear this. Psalm 141:5. Let a righteous man strike me. That is a kindness. Let him rebuke me. That is oil on my head. My head will not refuse it, for my prayer will still be against the deeds of the evildoers. Proverbs 9:8. Do not rebuke mockers or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise and they will love you. If we're, again, I'm going off script. If we are a mature Christian, if we are eating the meat, okay, instead of like a baby Christian that drinks the milk, be hateful towards that person who rebukes us in our own sin. I would rather you tell me I'm sinning and say, hey, can I help you quit sinning like that, than somebody not saying anything at all or condemning me in judgment instead of condemning me with love. Here's another one. We are to speak the truth in love. Some people judge with a bad heart, and this is exactly what I'm talking about. Some people judge with a bad heart to just tell someone off. There are some people who have a judgmental, critical spirit. And again, guys, this is exactly verbatim what I heard this morning in the church service I went to. It amazed me how God gives me to give to others his word. And it just confirms that my heart was listening to God, that God is speaking to me. And I was overjoyed. And, you know, I'm not trying to pat my own back, but I was just so excited because I wanted to make sure before I even went to the church service, it's like, am I saying the right things? Am I doing the right things? Should I say this? And God confirmed it. I mean, verbatim. So there are some people who have a judgmental, critical spirit, and they search for something wrong with others, which is sinful. Some people are always putting others down and judging rudely. Some people put roadblocks in front of new believers, and they will claim them, will make them feel like they are in chains. Some people hold up big, vicious signs to scare people. What are they doing is provoking people to anger. Instead, we are to speak the truth in love and gentleness. We are to humble ourselves and know that we are sinners as well. We have all fallen short, and that includes me, guys. I am not going to search for something wrong with you. I am not going to say something about every little last thing because I wouldn't want anyone to do it to me. No one will like you if you have a heart of a Pharisee. For example, if a curse word slips out of your mouth, I am not going to jump on you. This has happened to me before. Now, it's a different story if you profess to be a believer and you are constantly cursing and using your mouth for wickedness without a care in the world. I will come to you with love, gentleness, and scripture. Remember, it's always good to humble yourself and talk about your failures, so the person in you will know it's coming from a good heart. And again, guys, this is not what I said. This is what I found online, okay? Ephesians 4:15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. And then Titus 3:2. To speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. These are some that not judging falsely, but righteously, is what is doing right judging. So you see, we judge every day and can do so as long as we do it with a right mind and a right heart. So in saying that, and I'm going to wrap it up here, guys. So right now, I want to ask anyone out there who hasn't given their heart to the Lord to do so now, to get their heart right. God loves you. He doesn't want to see you go to hell. Only you choose for yourself to do so. That's why he gave us a free will. He wants us to choose him freely. So will you do so? If you do, say with me this prayer and don't wait. Death is only a breath away. Father, I have sinned and I need your forgiveness. I want to know you more. I want to know Jesus more. I want to do your will. You said in your word, if I ask, I will receive. I believe in your word. I believe Jesus is your son, was born, died, and rose again so that I may have salvation. that all I have to do is repent and believe, and my sins are forgiven. Please now, Father, take away my sins. Change me the way you want. Send me your Holy Spirit and build in me a real, honest, true relationship with you and your Son, Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Those of you who prayed this and meant it, congratulations and welcome to his family. What I suggest now is finding a study Bible and well-grounded church in the Scripture. Become baptized and ask God to help you find one. It's important to be around others, especially a good pastor, to get you started in the right direction, to guide you in understanding. It's not always going to be easy, and Satan will hate you even more, and God can use you also to help others. So let's pray. Father, there are many in this world today that are getting it wrong in what we do or say according to your word and being led into damnation. Let us learn your word as you would have it, to be bold, Father, to be ready to make a stand for you, Father, in the face of all atrocities happening. Let us have a compassionate heart as we go about helping others see your will be done. Let us go humbly without pride to profess your holiness and Jesus' salvation and the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
So now I'm going to conclude with a song of worship. If we do, do we have time, Bobby? Bobby?
Yes.
We do have time? Okay, good.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm a conclude with the song of worship, and it's My Jesus, I Love Thee, sung by the Anthem Lights. Let's see here. Let me get it set up here again. Oh, no. My, thought I lost it. I'm having a heck of a day. It's all for a reason, though.
My
can wash away. Amen. Just to give you a little bit of history on that, when I was looking it up, it was written by William R. Featherston. And he was born in July 23rd, 1846 in Montreal. He died in the same city 26 years later. His family attended the Wesleyan Methodist Church, and it seems likely that William wrote this hymn as a poem celebrating his conversion to Christ. Reportedly, he sent it to an aunt living in California, and somehow it was published as an anonymous hymn in a British hymnal in 1864. Little else is known about the origin of the hymn or its author, but that's all right. It's enough just to know that God can change the world through anyone, regardless of age. And I believe, what was he? He was like 16 or something like that. Who will say, "My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee, all the follies of sin I resign." So that'll conclude this. I'm going to give the Aaronic blessing in Numbers 6, 24 through 26. And then we'll go about our day. And I want to tell you guys this. I love you. I care about you. No matter where you are in this world, I really sincerely do. And I just want to see everybody come to Christ to go to heaven. Because it's going to be such a joyous time when we all meet. Whew, I'm starting to feel the Holy Spirit big time, guys. It's going to be such a joyous time when we all meet and celebrate that wedding feast. So with that, we will conclude with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. All in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just want to say, too, guys, that at the church service I went to, it's what they called the Baptism Sunday, and there was like at least a dozen people, and I took pictures, and I'm going to post some of them on Messenger here, but I took pictures. And it was such a joyous occasion, especially for today. It was just the way everything worked out, the way this prayer service was given to me. And it's not of my own doing, guys. I do not take any credit for any of this, you know. And most of the time, it's all at the last minute that God puts on my heart what he wants me to put in your heart. So I hope this touched your heart, and I want everybody to go with God, everyone. Have a blessed Sunday and week to come, and remember to do God's will. Go love someone enough to tell them the good news. Amen? Amen. And I'll turn it back over to you, Bobby.
Amen. Again, Chaplain, we really appreciate all you do for us. Another wonderful show.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I really do.
And just we appreciate you. I hope you know that.
I do. I feel it.
And I,
especially just, when you and Larna get on.
But just to reiterate, like you said, everyone have a rest of your a blessed of your Sunday. God bless us all. Thank you for being here with us. God bless America, our children, first responders, veterans, military, and God bless the Defender 7. Have a good day.
God bless. Good day.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm here, believe it or not.